Good afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the National Employment Network Payments Call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star followed by the one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, January 31st, 2017. I will now turn the conference over to Sean Walcott, EN Payments Manager. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Welcome and thank you for attending the All EN Payments call today, Tuesday, January 31st, 2017. I am Sean Walcott, EN Payments Manager, and your host for the call today. And I'm joined in the McLean office with Deborah Tennessee, Ticket Operation Manager. And on the line, on behalf of the Social Security Administration, I have Natalie Sindeldorfer, Shannon Morgan, and Janice Edwards. Thank you all for joining the call. Today we're going to discuss the following topics: ePay status update, CCR SAM registration, payment denials, ticket portal tips and tricks, the work number, ticket portal available resources, and our question and answer forum. You can check the status of your ePay by viewing the announcement screen in the portal. The portal will display the announcement that ePay has started and a message when we complete processing an ePay file. Starting in January 2017, the All EN Payments call will be moving to a quarterly schedule. In 2017, our calls will be held on the following dates: January 31st, April 25th, July 25th, and October 31st. The ticket program available resources section of this presentation highlights the service accommodations available to you at any time to reinforce payment principles and get other payment relevant information in between calls. ePay status update. Our last ePay file processing began on November 18, 2016 and was completed on December 20th. Claims were processed by Social Security number instead of DUNS, and 16,550 total claims were paid. As a reminder, you may submit your payment request through the ticket portal instead of waiting for the ePay process to run. Additionally, please ensure that your EM payment contact information is current. We email the EM payment contact for payment outreach messages and confirmation of possible split payments. When submitting information to ENSB about payments, please annotate your EN contact information for payments. To add a payment contact, please send a request to enservice@ssa.gov and specify the name of the person and indicate the title you want them to have. All payments contacts must have completed suitability. As we advance to our next portion of the presentation, we will discuss CCR SAM registration and renewal requirements. SAM registration must be renewed and validated at least every 12 months. If the EN sees a diary reason of SAM CCR registration expired, update required, then the EN must sign into SAM.gov and renew and validate the information, and it will be renewed for a year. It can take a few days for the renewal to update, but the EN contact EN payment, but the EN can contact the EN Payments Help Desk to notify TPM that the action was completed. Note, if you need assistance on renewing or updating your existing SAM entity registration, please review the Quick Start Guide for updating renewing registrations. If you need assistance migrating the roles from your legacy account to your new SAM account, please review the Quick Start Guide for migrating roles. What are yearly renewal requirements and how to keep your entity's record active? ENs must renew and validate CCR registration at least every 12 months from the date the EN last certified or submitted the registration in SAM. ENs are responsible for updating sooner if your entity's information changes. The primary contact email address will receive a message for each entity that is registered, providing an alert for the renewal requirements at 60, 30, and 15 days prior to expiration. If ENs do not renew, it will expire. SSA cannot process payments without an active registration. Here we have the most common denial reasons listed for fiscal year 2016. On the upcoming slides, we will provide an explanation of the top four denial reasons listed. Not eligible due to look-back earnings. The Social Security Administration takes into consideration the earnings a ticket holder receives prior to ticket assignment. As it states in the RFQ, Phase 1 milestone payments may not be available to an EN if the beneficiary achieved the milestone within the most recent 18-month period prior to the ticket assignment. A common practice to recognize a prior earnings denial is to use the 18-month look-back tool. Phase 1 milestone payments may not be available to an EN if the beneficiary achieved that milestone within the most recent 18-month period prior to the ticket assignment and after the last date of disability onset. This denial reason represents 35% of total denials. The 18-month look-back tool allows ENs or TPM EN payment staff to enter a ticket assignment date, month, and year. The tool then calculates 18 months prior to the ticket assignment date and loads the tool with these months. Staff then plug in X under each month to indicate if earnings are above trial work level. The spreadsheet will post a yes or no for each milestone in the chart below to indicate whether or not a Phase 1 milestone is available. The new 18-month look-back tool now has the functionality to enter the date of disability onset and make the calculations. With this new feature, the 18-month period between the date of disability onset and the ticket assignment date is calculated accurately. To use the tool, you first enter the assignment date in the box on the far right outlined in red. This will generate the 18 previous months in the spreadsheet. Next, you enter an X in each of the months where the beneficiary had earnings above trial work level amounts for that year. A chart for trial work level amounts is provided on the spreadsheet for your reference. When you've entered the appropriate X's, the spreadsheet will display the available milestone payments based on the rules described earlier. Due to VR services, Phase 1 milestones can't be paid. No Phase 1 milestones will be available to an EN if the beneficiary previously was served by a state vocational rehabilitation agency and it was a successful closure. During intake, you should ask beneficiaries about any history prior to receiving VR services and whether they were working at the time of their VR case closure. Even if a beneficiary has a history of prior VR services, a successful case closure, the ticket still has significant value. Due to VR service, Phase 1 milestone can't be paid represents 33% of denials for 2016. Beneficiary receiving cash benefits. If an EN requests outcomes but is in current pay on receiving cash benefits, they will receive a denial. As you can see from the area highlighted in red, that this represents 26% of the payment denials for 2016. The best way to avoid this type of denial is to be proactive with your beneficiary. Request any correspondence from the beneficiary that was completed and submitted to the SSA field office. An EN may also consider requesting a benefits planning query or BPQY, which can provide valuable insight in these types of work. The last of the largest number of denial reasons for a payment denial is duplicate request. We will generate a duplicate request in situations where an EN submits multiple payment requests for a claim month that has already been paid. A helpful way to avoid this is to work with the EN payment status report in the ticket portal. The EN payment status report will display payment requests you previously submitted. This will also allow you to identify payment requests you have made so there is not a duplication of efforts. How to avoid denials. The first option is to manage and monitor the payment history of your ticket holders. Ask the beneficiary prior to or during the intake process to contact their local SSA office to request a benefits planning or BPQI. An EN may request a BPQI by submitting two SSA 3288 forms. The first is to consent for release of information that have been signed by the beneficiary. One is to authorize the release of Social Security records, and the other is to authorize the release of the Internal Revenue Service earnings records. Both releases must contain the beneficiary's Social Security number and claim number. The second way to avoid a denial is to request pay stubs and the employer earnings statements. Request previous pay stubs or employer earnings statement as either part of the intake or once the ticket is assigned. This will give an EN an idea of which, if any, milestones to submit. The third option is to make certain the payment documentation submitted have accurate earnings information. If you are submitting earnings evidence, just make sure that you're providing the appropriate documentation to meet the requirements of the payment request. We may also perform an outreach to an EN asking to submit additional documentation or clarification to support the original request. There is a 9-day diary period to respond. We typically send outreach requests before denying the request, but there is a cutoff point, and it's important to pay attention to those outreach requests when we send documentation and respond quickly. The fourth and final option to avoid denials is the denial code reference table. This is a compiled list of all payment denial reasons and associated codes viewed in the portal. Employment networks take the time to evaluate their denials and reason codes and have an opportunity to prevent future situations that may result in denials. Organizations can benefit by improving their company efficiency in preventing denials by having better insight of payment-related procedures, which will in turn reduce payment request revisions and increase company cash flow. How to obtain a payments processing report from the ticket portal. During this segment, we will discuss required steps to process a payment report from the ticket portal. There are two options to view payment status from the payment section of the main menu. The first is to view payments already made to me. This includes all payments that are closed and includes both paid and denied requests. The second option is view all payments pending for me. This includes all payments that are still open, and pending payments will include all payments that have not been sent to Treasury yet. View payments already made to me. You may search here for payments already made to your EN or state via your agency for all beneficiaries based on date and all denials. Enter the dates you wish to search and select search. The start and end dates cannot be more than a year apart. However, you can search for prior years. The results will display as shown here. You can view them on a spreadsheet by selecting the Download Entire List to Excel option. Claims listed on this screen are ones where TPM has completed an action. Paid means TPM processed a claim and it cleared Treasury. Denied means TPM assessed the claim and determined it was not payable. Allowed means TPM assessed and paid a claim and it has not yet cleared Treasury. ENs should wait 30 days before contacting TPM to investigate claims that remain in the allowed status. The denial code column will list a code number. Select the denial number link to receive a pop-up window and description of the denial reason to learn more about why the payment was denied. From the main menu, select the View All Pending Payments for Me link, and the Pending Payments for Me screen will display. Here you will be able to see all your organization's pending payments. These are payments that have not yet been processed. Each payment request you enter is displayed here immediately after it's created. These claims could be outstanding receipts not yet worked, or claims in diary awaiting information such as evidence of earnings or a renewal of SAM registration. For example, if your case is diarized, you will see a Y in the diary column. Clicking on Actions will bring you to another menu where you can see the reason your case is diarized and print an additional fax cover sheet if needed. You can also view pending payments for an individual beneficiary by going to the main menu and selecting the List Beneficiaries Currently Assigned to Me link. You would select the Actions link on the page for an individual beneficiary. This will take you to the More Actions menu. You would then select Show Pending Payments. The difference between the View Pending Payments for Me and the Show Pending Payments functions is one shows all payments for your organization, while the other shows all pending payments for the beneficiary that you selected. You also have the ability to download the payment status report to an Excel file for your review. Select a start and end date for the range of your report. The portal will display a report that contains activity for the date range you selected. We will now proceed to the next portion of our presentation, the work number. We will also provide different examples to further explain rules associated with using this service. A number of ENs use the service of the work number, a third-party service which provides verification of employment and income. In some situations, the service is free. The work number allows requesters to receive immediate confirmation of an individual's employment and salary for verification purposes. The work number collects week-by-week salary information, which is as up-to-date as the last pay period and can go back many years. It also collects the length of unemployment, job titles, location information, and other kinds of human resource-related information. Our next slide shows an example of when supplemental earnings statement is requested from the EN. Regarding this example, we are not aware of what the date of pay beginning, pay end, or pay date. Without this information, we are prohibited from processing any payment request due to insufficient information or documentation. As we proceed to the next slide, no pay period end date is listed. This is another example of when a supplemental earnings statement would be requested from the EN and where we are unable to process a payment request. In example number 3, this particular instance of a supplemental earnings statement is not required because the pay period end date and pay date are documented. The information supplied is suitable earnings verification to process the payment. We will finish this discussion with a review of what resources are available to you if you have further questions or need additional details about anything we presented today. Ticket program available resources. The portal automates many operational functions you do throughout the day. Besides uploading payment request forms and viewing the EN payment status report, as reviewed previously, some additional automated features that the portal offers include checking for ticket assignability, assigning or unassigning tickets, and uploading forms. TPM provide website resources for service providers. EMs can also visit the Information Center section of the website to obtain additional information, resource documents, and training materials on a wide variety of topics. The Information Center also includes a listing of upcoming events, including conference calls that service providers can attend. The training section within the Information Center also includes PowerPoint presentations from past Ticket Training Tuesday calls. To access the website, please access yourtickettowork.com. The Secure Training and Resources site was created to ensure the highest level of security for you and the beneficiaries you serve. You can only access the site by using the link included in the welcome letter you receive via email with your login information for the portal. The Ticket Portal User Guide is a resource at your fingertips when using the Ticket Portal. The reference to consult before contacting us with any questions. For new EMs, information on how to access the training and resources site was included in the welcome email you received with confirmation of your completed enrollment in the Ticket Portal. The EM Payments Help Desk is the preferred method of tracking the status of submitted payment requests is to use the Ticket Portal and take advantage of real-time updates. However, if an EM is unable to use the Ticket Portal for any reason, it also has the option to send manual payment status inquiries to the EM Payments Help Desk at the EM Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.com. EMs can also obtain clarification on payment-related issues or explanation of how EM payment staff apply ticket policy procedures to make payment and payment denial assessments, answer EM payment inquiries received through the Payments Help Desk phone line, submit requests to the EM payment staff for payment reconsideration or for payment supervisor to review a payment issue. The Payment Help Desk also outreach to EMs to obtain payment-related documentation when an EM payment staff report missing or incomplete information from payment requests EMs submit. TPM phone and email resources. The Ticket Operation Helpline is available Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Both the Payment Help Desk and the System Support Desk are accessible by choosing option 2 and 3 respectively. The Payment Help Desk is available to answer your questions regarding payments policy or status under the ticket program, while the System Support Desk has representatives available to assist you with any issues you encounter using the ticket portal, questions about ticket assignments, or TPR-related questions. This will complete the presentation portion of our call, and I would like to start our question and answer forum. Deborah, do we have any questions presented in the chat room?
Yeah, I was on mute. No, not really.
Okay.
There is one question from Jamie. She states, the life earnings statement example does not show if FICA taxes were taken out. We have had payment requests denied for such reason. Is it true that the pay stubs submitted do not need to have FICA information on it? Can you bring that example up? I don't know which one it was. Here's the last pay stub. It's the work number. I guess that's it.
This would be the last one.
I can't see it.
It would be example number 3.
Yeah, what does that show?
It shows that the pay period end date and pay date are listed. The assumption is if the end date is 1-8-2016 and the next beginning date is the day after 1-9-2016 to 1-22-2016, a timeline sequence is provided for pay dates, so no supplemental earnings statement is required.
What does the earnings look like, though? That's the issue.
The earnings
for FICA tax is taken out.
It has the pay date, the hours worked, and the gross earnings, and the net states no data provided or data not provided.
So the answer to the question is?
No, I don't see that withdrawn from here.
The answer to the question, and we use the BARC number, but the BARC number does not always show withholding. and a lot of times we still will have to go back and ask for a supplemental statement because we do need to know whether or not, any withholdings by law were made. In this situation, whoever asked that question, you're absolutely correct. We should, I'm trying to think right now, do we have special rules for the BARC number? Because the BARC number does not always show all the withholding. So sometimes I think we do have to get, in this situation, we would have had to get an earnings statement. We stand corrected. Another question is, if a disability beneficiary returns to self-employment under Ticket to Work, how does he or she report? Hold on. Report earnings to SSA, and how is trial work level and SGA determined for EM payment? Those earnings need to be reported to Social Security Administration because of the fact that taxes have to be, for self-employment individuals, we have to see that the taxes were actually paid before we come up with the net amount. I did, for the question that was asked previously, one of the payment supervisors did say to send me a message that those withholdings were on another document that we had. So in a case that we showed you, no, there were no withholdings shown on that, but we did have another document that showed that the FICA taxes had been withheld.
Thank you, Deborah, for that clarification. Do we have any additional questions presented in the chat?
Someone did want to know how could they get in touch with the BARC number. And, you could go to the web, search the web, just key in the BARC number. It'll pop up, and you can get all the information about the BARC number just going on the web. Then we had Marilyn Mavoir, who has a recommendation for a portal enhancement. Mary Lynn has written, I have had the following situation and wondering why this would happen. When all of the phase two payments have been made, is there a way on the portal request that only outcomes is the option for a payment and the phase two is removed from the screen? Okay. I have had multiple examples that when phase two payments are not an option, it is still viewed on the screen as an option for the end user to select. Can it be programmed that phase twos can be removed from viewing in this instance? And what I've said to Marilyn is that we keep a list of all recommendations from ENs for enhancements to the portal. And we'll submit this, but just bear in mind that we do have limited resources, so we can't get to all these at one time, but we do maintain a log of any recommendations. This one sounds like it may be, I'm not a programmer, and I don't believe Katie, who's our SSA expert on the portal, is on the line, but it sounds like to me that this could be a lot of programming because you first have to make sure, first of all, is it a situation where all the phase fees have been paid, or is it a situation where they haven't been paid, the beneficiary went into outcome, and no phase fees are available. But anyway, we will submit this up to Social Security. Someone else had a question saying that clients are receiving letters that they are no longer eligible for benefits, but either the payment center is behind in updating this information, so it's getting the outcome payments from being approved. I hadn't heard of this as an issue, but we will send this up to Social Security as another issue.
Thank you, Deborah. Okay, at this time, I'd like to open up our phone lines for our question and answer forum. Shanika, please advise our audience our phone lines are open for any payment-related topics they would like to discuss.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the 1 on your telephone. Again, that is star 1. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press pound. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question is from the line of Stacey Clark.
Yes, hello, thank you. I have a specific question that I've actually elevated a couple of times or tried to have someone else take a look at it, but it hasn't been addressed yet. So they actually told me to bring it up on this call to see if someone here could help me figure out how to proceed with this issue. Basically, what happened, it was a beneficiary assigned. We had taken the ticket years back, and we had since unassigned that ticket. We received a payment for Phase 1, Milestone 1 and 2, back in November 2015. And just last month, we got an email stating that it was an incorrect payment because the client had a successful VR case closure. So we did not know that. Come to find out that successful case closure with VR was back in 2010, so it was over 5 years ago. So I wasn't sure why we were paid for something that we did not submit. It was paid through ePay, and it wasn't our mistake that we received that payment. So I was wondering if I could get a little bit more explanation on that, or if it could be elevated to a supervisor, offline.
No, you can ask that question, and we'll give you an answer. There are some incorrect payments that we make, and just because we make them, it doesn't mean that they're waived. In that situation, we may have whoever processed that original request perhaps did not see the code that it was a successful closure, and in doing a review of the latest ePay file or maybe a payment request was able to pull up that information. So I know it happened a while ago, but, it does say in the RFQ, if we make a mistake or if you're paid incorrectly and we find out later that you would be charged for those overpayments.
Okay, so my question is, my executive director wanted to elevate this just because we don't want this to continue to happen. It becomes an accounting nightmare because we were paid for this over a year ago. So my contracts department is, a little up in arms about it because we have to pay that back, from something our funds were over a year ago. So my question is, how do we make sure, and I don't know really how, if this truly was a successful VR case closure in 2010, we got paid at the end of 2015, is this a reoccurring thing that you've heard of? Like, how was that code missed? That's what I want to make sure. What can I do as an EN to I don't really know, to
it
catch
could
that.
Be that the code, wherever it was posted, it was overlooked. We go back and we make payments, retroactive payments that we've missed. So the same thing happens for an overpayment that occurred. And I understand that it is a kind of nightmare because that happened in a prior year. But, we do have a QA chain, and even though that did happen, our QA rate is actually 99%. And this is a manual adjudication as well as a payment process here. So there are times that we are going to make mistakes.
You're right.
But I don't think it's probably anything that you did. The only thing that I can suggest here is pretty much, though, if you have ticket holders who did previously receive services from a VR, to check with them, because you could probably get information from the beneficiary, like when the case was closed, whether they were working or whatever. And most of the time, more than likely, if they were working when they left, the case was closed with the VR, it's going to be a successful closure. So
we
may not have that information right away. I'm just saying this is the way you could possibly check. But
And
it sounds to me that was just an error on our part.
It was just one of those 1%. Yeah, because I do that, exactly what you say. I get a lot of information about, past VR case closures from the client. And like you said, this was just a very old situation. And the client wasn't someone I personally work with. I'm just the program manager now. So it was something I really had no information, to go by in regards to the initial take of the ticket back so many years ago. But, yeah, it was just weird that it took so ePay over 5 years or however long, because this.
Okay.
Disconnect. One moment. Your next question is from the line of Jeffrey.
Yes. My question is, I've been in Employment Network for 10 years, and I am having major problems becoming a member of the work number. I was currently rejected. So what I did was reach out to enservice@ssa.gov, and I guess they're in the process of working on it. And then I also reached out to the gentleman, the EN development consultant. I thought maybe that they would have, with the Ticket to Work program, maybe someone that kind of give us assistance on that procedure of joining the work number, because they were asking me questions that I thought was kind of against the contract because they were about the beneficiary. And I tried to give them the best answers as I could, but some kind of way or another, I mentioned that they can go to the website and see that the Ticket to Work program is designed to work with the work number, but that still didn't mean anything. They still turned me down. So
Okay. First of all, Ticket to Work is, I mean, Scott, sorry, the work number is a third party. It's not affiliated at all with Ticket to Work. So we can't give you any assistance at all in getting, engaged with the work number. But I do, because you have asked this question, I do have something in my chat line that Teresa Neer has provided some assistance on getting you some assistance. And she says Nina helps EN sign up for the work number. That's the best way to do it. And Nina is the National Employment Network Association. I'm not sure. I believe most ENs have heard of Nina, but maybe not all. So if you get in touch with Nina, they can get you some assistance for in signing up for the work number.
So I wrote down Nina, National Employment
Network Association. Network, National Employment Network Association. And Nina can get you some assistance in signing up with the work number.
Okay, I appreciate that. So I just go online and just look that up then, correct?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Your next question is from the line of Lisa Marie Holika.
Yes, I wanted to know about when a ticket is terminated. Is there any more information we can learn of why or how it happened, as opposed to just learning that the ticket is terminated and it's over?
Well, Social Security makes the determination of when the ticket is terminated. I mean, if you go to the regs, you can see the main reasons why a ticket is terminated. First of all, the beneficiary needs to be disabled. Most of the time, we see situations where the beneficiary is who has applied for Social Security retirement benefits, so they're no longer considered disabled. They're part of the retirement or age if it's an SSI account. So that's the main reason that we may see that a beneficiary ticket is terminated. It could be due to death. I have another question, not the same question that you're asking about terminations, ticket terminations, the fact that you are not advised when a ticket is terminated, and it doesn't, those beneficiaries' names, once the ticket is terminated, do not appear on your formerly assigned to me list. So I'm not sure if we can do that as far as what you're asking, if the reason why the ticket was terminated in any of our systems, but again, we can submit this up to SSA, and we will also submit to SSA the request to have a beneficiary whose tickets were terminated placed on the formally assigned list.
And when you say the regs, what do you mean by going to the regs to look up for more information?
The CFR, the Code of Federal Regulations, where ticket policy is listed.
Okay.
You can go there and you can see everything you want to know about ticket program, who's eligible for a ticket, ticket assignments, how the different payment methods, all that. I think it's under 411.500 under the Code for Federal Regulation.
Oh, okay.
And for the person who had questions about the work number, and we got some assistance from that Nina can help you get assistance from the work number. I want to give you the email or the web address for Nina. It's www.nina, that's N-E-N-A, ticket, that's all one word, ninaticket.org. And you can send your request to them.
Your next question is from the line of Cassandra Jordan.
Hi, this is more of a technical question, and I apologize for this being a technical question, but I was unable to pull up the chat room. I was also unable, if you did show any documents, I was unable to see any of that. So if anybody can shed light on what I need to do, I thought I followed the instructions to a T, but the phone line was the only thing that I could get. I don't even have the transcripts.
Sorry about that. You can head to yourtickettowork.com, and you could go to the information center, and that will provide the information relative to today's presentation.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Your next question is from the line of Marilyn Rivore.
Hi, Marilyn.
Paula, your line is open.
Okay, Marilyn was disconnected. I think she's trying to get back in.
Okay, as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one if you would like to ask a question.
Deborah, are there no further questions? No further audio questions at this time?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Deborah, do we have any other additional questions presented in the chat?
No, we just had a few more recommendations for portal enhancements, and we'll make sure that we get a copy of this script so that we can send those up to Social Security.
And you do have an audio question that has come in. You have a question from the line of Judy Sanderson.
Good afternoon. This is a quickie. I noticed I've been looking around trying to find the newest version for the 18-month look-back form, and the only one I can find so far only goes up to the 2016 levels. Do you know when one will be coming out that has the 2017 levels on it, or did I have not looked in the right place?
The newest version of the 18-month look-back tool is on the Your Ticket to Work website. When did you last look at that tool?
Oh, about 10 minutes ago.
Does the version contain the date of disability onset on that?
It did not.
Version?
It was the older. Yeah, so somehow I'm at home, and so maybe I'm not being able to see everything that I can see when I'm at work. So I will check again tomorrow at work to see if I can find it. But
okay.
You're saying it is there, so I just have to find it. And
yeah.
Then just a quickie update on Nina. I am a member of Nina. I'm on the board. So if that individual would like to email me, I can make sure his question gets out directly to the full board members. So if there's anybody that has recent experience getting onto the work number, perhaps we can help him. I'm on the work number, but I did it so long ago that the things he was talking about, I don't think I had to do any of those, so I'm not going to be of any help to him. But my email is jsanderson, S-A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, at G as in George, F as in Sam, I as in Isaac, L as in Larry, .org. So you can feel free to email me, and I will check with the board to see if anybody's got more current information on that, if you want.
Someone did ask about having problems with logging in, having problems with that. You can send an email to tpmtraining@maximus.com, and we'll send you instructions on how to log in and try to walk you through the process. Mary G. Has a question. Well, not a question, but a statement. The monthly estimated is still 2016. Sean, would you comment on that?
I'm sorry, Deborah, state again. I didn't hear you clearly.
The earnings estimator, the monthly earnings estimated is still showing 2016.
The monthly earnings estimator?
Yes.
On the website?
Yes.
It still lists the 2016 rates on it. I was just reviewing it, and I'm actually working immediately on trying to get that information updated with the 2017 rates.
Great. So you should see that posted soon.
And your next question is from the line of Linda Bauman.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Linda and Renee Fakori. We just wondered how come we're not showing as participants to the call today if we logged in.
Okay.
Yeah, we can. We're not showing in the chat room.
Could you give me your name again, which you are logged in as?
Linda Bauman, that's B-O-U-M-A-N, and Renee
Fakori. I'm just joining on one call.
Okay. We'll send that to our communications department, see what happened with that.
Okay. We're with Celico.
Okay. So could you spell that?
S-E-L-A-C-O. Well, it's the Southeast Los Angeles County Workforce Development Board.
Okay, we'll send that to our communications department, see what happens with that.
Thank you.
On the call, we want to make sure that you... Oh, wait a minute. No, that's not you. I'm seeing some people have left the room, and I thought that might have been you, but nope.
No.
We'll send that through.
Thank you, Deborah.
Excuse me, Linda.
Sure.
One of our experts here said the reason you don't see your name is because you didn't type your name. You typed the what?
Some of her information, like maybe the name of the all call.
Name of the all? Did you type your name of the all call? Oh, she's probably gone. But it could be because your name wasn't typed in. That could have been one reason.
Oh, okay.
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 Your next question is from the line of Jeffrey.
Yes. First of all, I want to thank everybody for giving me some assistance with the NENA, National Employment Network Association, because I didn't know anything about it. So I've been listening, and I appreciate the information. With the email from Jay Sanderson at G, that's all I have. The rest was too fast for me. So I don't know the rest of her email that she was giving me. But I guess if not, if I can't get that, I just go by the NENA, NENAticket.org, that website, correct? And I should be okay.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. I'll just go by that. Okay. I want to thank everybody for that information.
Okay. Did you say, did you say www.NENAticket?
NENA Ticket, yes.
NENA
Ticket.
.org.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I really appreciate that because it's been a real puzzle trying to get this figured out.
Okay. Your next question is from the line of Judy Sanderson.
Hi, it's me again. I can go over my email address again if that will help him. He's got the J Sanderson correct, and then it's G as in George, S as in Sam, I as in Isaac, lasinlarry.org. It's the four initials of our business, which is GSIL. Hopefully that was a little slower. I do tend to talk a little fast.
And as a reminder, that is star one if you'd like to ask a question. There are no further questions at this time.
Deborah, any additional questions presented via chat?
No, we're good. Oh, wait a minute. Here's someone just talked to this. If a phase one milestone one payment was denied due to needing backup and it was submitted when submitting requests for phase one milestone two, the rest of the question is cut off. But I can tell you this. We have to pay claims in the order. We can't just overlook a phase one milestone because you don't have the backup with sufficient documentation. We will have to pay a phase one milestone before we could pay a phase one milestone two unless the phase one milestone one was unavailable due to one of the exclusions such as look back earnings or closures. So if you submit, when you submitted the phase one milestone two, if you submitted earnings information or whatever you needed, we would look at that earnings information. If it satisfied a payment for phase one milestone one and phase one milestone two, we would do that. Even if you didn't know that you had to have the phase one milestone one paid first and you gave us documentation with enough earnings, we would take a look at all those earnings and make a determination at that point if you were eligible for phase one milestone one and the phase one milestone two or whatever. But we would have to first make a determination on the phase one milestone one before we could make a determination to pay you on phase one milestone two.
Thank you, Deborah. Shanika, do we have any audio questions presented at this time?
Yes, we have a follow-up question from the line of Jeffrey.
Yes, I was just listening to your answer about the phase one, milestone one. I was wondering, can you use the first month in phase one, milestone two, the phase one, milestone one? For your phase two payment.
Could you give an example of what you, I don't want to get the wrong answer, just give an example.
Okay, like if your phase one, milestone one, includes November, December, and January, okay? I mean, if your phase one, milestone one just includes November, okay? When phase one, milestone two, you can't use that November again and use December and January, November, December, and January, can you?
Yes, you can. In most situations, I put it that way, you can. The only time you would not be able to use that November toward a phase one milestone two, milestone three, or milestone four is if that first milestone was for earnings less than trial work level. There are times we can pay a phase one milestone if earnings are less than full trial work level but greater than 50% of trial work level. And normally this happens when a beneficiary starts work in the middle of the month. The pay period is every 2 weeks and a beneficiary started work in the third week and is only going to get paid for 2 weeks. But we can look at the earnings, salary of the earnings per hour. We could calculate, well, if they had worked a full month, they would have worked at trial work level. So we will pay you for that first phase one milestone. However, you would not be able to use that toward the phase one milestone two, three, or four. If we did make the payment and the earnings were based on full trial work level, you could use November, December, and January for your phase one milestone two. You could use November, December, January, February, March, and April for your phase one milestone three. In other words, you could continue to use that November attainment month for all milestones as long as they were in a certain period of time that the beneficiary made those earnings.
Is there a particular place where I can, you know, get that knowledge and really kind of like review that on the Ticket to Work website, or because that's good information that, you know,
Sean, do you know the exact place where we would have that store? Because we do have some training information and some information about specific earnings topics out on the website, and I believe it's under the Information Center.
It is.
Okay, because that scenario is unique, and I would like to be able to really understand that, because I may have been able to, you know, I've been an EN for 10 years, and I would like to be able to use that if I could, because that's really interesting. And I want to thank the person for repeating the email, because I did get it this time.
Okay.
So thank you.
Okay, and again, is it Jeffrey?
Yes.
You can go to the Information Center tab, and when it's your Ticket to Work, at yourtickettowork.com,
okay.
There's the Information Center tab. And then there's a link there. It's called Resource Documents.
Okay.
And from there, I mean, you got to really dwindle down to this, but from the document link, it's a painted resource section.
Okay.
And from there, it's a guide to payment and payments at a glance. It's all kinds of information. And a great tool that we have out there is called the EN Payment Checklist Guide.
EN Payment Checklist Guide.
Checklist Guide, yes. It tells you everything about all the requirements for phase one milestones, earnings, payment status, everything. What state are you with, Jeffrey?
Pardon me?
What state are you calling from?
Ohio.
Ohio. Okay, thank you.
And the name of my company is Department of Contractors is on the website.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That's some very valuable information. This is my first time, you know, calling in, and I hate to hear that it's only going 3 months, because it's really valuable information. So thank you.
Okay. There are no further audio questions at this time.
Thank you, Shanika. Thank you, Deborah. Do we have any additional questions presented in both forums?
No, I don't see anything else, Sean.
Okay. As a reminder, TPM provides an opportunity to all ENs to discuss payment-related topics during the All EN Payments call. The full transcript and audio for All EN Payments call are available on the Ticket to Work website under the Events and Archives section. This will conclude our presentation for today. Thank you all for listening, your attention, and participation during the call. Please have a great evening.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line. Speakers, please hold.